Oh, yeah. I'm sorry I was late. Had somebody picking up our state truck outside, and then I couldn't find my link to jump on. Kalamayau. Open up so I can see everybody. Okay, good morning. Let's see, there's Uncle Desmond. Would you like to open up our meeting this morning for us, please?
Yeah, aloha, everybody. Aloha. Okay, puli kako. It was a rough week, man, this week. E puli. Ka palapala he mo lele apau. Wa haawi ya mai e ka uhane o ke akua. He mea ia e pono ae no ke au ana, no ka pāpā ana, no ka ho o polo le ana. No ka ho o na au au ana ma ka pono. I he molele ai ke kanaka o ke akua, i mā kakao lea ai hoi i nā hana mai kai apau. Amene.
Welcome everybody to our December 17th Hawaii Island Burial Council meeting. I wanted to mahalo you to Uncle for opening us with a pule. And can we begin with a roll call starting with Uncle Norm? You're on mute, Uncle.
Okay, I'll do it.
Hey, Uncle Norm.
How can you? Good morning, everybody. Aloha representing the Kona district.
Aloha Iga, Hamakua.
Clifford Kopono, Hilo.
Desmond Haumea Kau.
Go ahead, Scott.
Scotty.
My goodness.
Scott, he's probably still on mute.
He should stay mute.
He's here.
I mute you.
Yeah, Scott Mahoney, Kau.
You up, Kalena?
Oh, okay. Kalena Blakemore representing Puna, and maybe our ship D people can chime into our roll call, and then our guest that will be delivering some testimony this morning. Mahalo.
Yeah, Kalpito, burial site specialist.
You know, Murad, burial site specialist.
Cindy.
My name is Cindy Young with the Attorney General's Office.
I'm representing ASM.
Okay, Lani Brand from ASM Affiliate.
Hello. Mahalo, Loke. Mahalo, Cindy, for joining us today. Welcome, everyone. Looks like we have a very short agenda today, just one item. The first thing that we need to look at are our minutes and approve our minutes from November 19th.
I move to accept.
I second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I have a question with Shifty. I was wondering, I know we voted for to let the minutes be recorded and recorded as such, but I was wondering if there's any way we can have the the discussions of the Attorney General office be in writing, because a lot of the information that we've gotten from Cindy and the other AG, Deputy AG, was very informative. And for us to go back and find those information or those discussions and advice, I don't have to look at just numbers. So I was just asking Kea if there's a way that portion can be in writing, our discussions with them.
Yeah, I can write down the responses that they give when you guys ask questions.
All right, mahalo.
Anyone else? Uncle Norm, is that your hand up?
No. Sorry.
Well, if we're good, we can call for the vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion passes. Mahalo. Next on our agenda is the draft burial treatment plan for sites 50-10-74-24403 features A, B, C, H, and site 24407. Ahupua'a Ka'u District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 9-5-014-045 and 069. Information, discussion, determination, recommendations, discussion and determination on whether to preserve in place or relocate human skeletal remains at the above location, and recommendation to the State Historic Preservation Division whether to accept or not accept the above draft burial treatment plan. And we have our presenter, Loke Brand from ASM. Mahalo.
Aloha, kakahi aka kakou. So mahalo nui for another opportunity to come before you folks to share the draft burial treatment plan for the two burial sites in the Ahupua'a Kiona'a. So again, this is for the 1,700 acre Ka'u Mahi property that has been is stated for to be subdivided into 29 lots. And through the inventory survey, these two burial sites were identified. And we've done a lengthy consultation with various descendants. Most of them have gone before the burial council and got recognition as a cultural descendant. So no lineal descendants at this point. But since the last time I was here at Burial Council, we were able to coordinate a site visit. And so on December 6th, we invited all the Ohana and all those that participated and consulted with this project and did a site visit. We also had a couple of representatives from HIBC, which was really nice. And so I wrote up a little summary about that here in the draft burial treatment plan that you folks have. And it was a really good opportunity for the families to, of course, see the sites firsthand and to then look at the preservation measures that were being put forth at that time and offer some revisions based on their having a better sense of the burial sites. And so still the proposed treatment for site 24403 and 24407 is preservation in place. There is no need, and the descendants all thought that there was no need to relocate the burials at all. So that's the proposed treatment. Long-term preservation measures would be accomplished to the creation of a 50-foot preservation easement around the site. And that protective buffer, that easement will be delineated by a 3 to 4 foot high rock wall that would be constructed in a manner sufficient to keep livestock out, because currently and for some time now, there's been ranching happening on that parcel or on that property. So the families were able to see, you know, cows roaming around in that area and some of the destruction that they can cause as well. So stone wall constructed in a style that's, you know, that would match sort of the Ka'u type dry stack masonry. Rocks would be utilized from that area. Additionally, with respect to site 24403, the Malcolm site on the property, this site has a sort of on the Makai edge of the site, it drops down maybe about 25 feet or so. And so the descendants that were there felt that it wasn't necessary to put to delineate that Makai edge with a wall or with a buffer of sorts, rather to just utilize the natural steep drop off as the buffer and then construct the buffer on only the Mauka side where it sort of it's flat before it sort of drops off into the edge of the site. So 50 foot buffer for that. And then let's see. We also were able to identify some native vegetation, some really old dry land plants that were still within that. And they're within the preserve, the burial preserve, which is really nice. So the families also wanted to see the Lama, Ule, and Alahe incorporated into the preservation easement and stuff. So that was really a sight to see, actually. And then for site 24407, the Makai site, which is the burial cave, same thing, 50 foot preservation buffer around the edge. Long-term preservation measure would be the also construction of a wall. Both of the sites would have an access gate, so descendants can get into the actual burial preserve. Let's see, the lava tube burial, that site 24403, the families felt that it wasn't necessary to seal the burial preserve. There's no imminent or any sort of plans, but you know, we had a discussion about, you know, in the future, if for some reason they feel that it needs to be sealed, then you know, they would be open to sealing. So sort of our recommendation here in the burial treatment plan is to keep it unsealed at the moment, but should circumstances change in the future that would necessitate sealing the cave, that be done in consultation with the descendants that have already been a part of this burial treatment plan. No construction, no heavy equipment of any kind would be allowed within either of the preservation easement. Only hand clearing of vegetation and things of that nature. Let's see. There also would be signage at the gate into the preservation easement. So I just have some suggested language to be put on the sign here in the draft burial treatment plan. Short-term or interim preservation measures. initially, we had sort of like the orange fencing thing, but after realizing the impacts of cattle, the descendants felt that something a little bit more, a fence, livestock fencing would be more appropriate as a short-term or interim preservation measure for the site. Again, it would be on the 50-foot, at a 50-foot perimeter around the site with an access gate to get into the burial preserve. So that's sort of another big change that happened with this plan. Again, hand clearing and native plants should be preserved as well. Let's see. So access for descendants, access for those that have genealogical ties to Hiona'a, Ahupua'a, courtesy notice just given to the landowner so that the landowner can provide them access through the various gates in that area. And then we also have a map that would show where the driving access area would be, where the sort of pull-off parking area would be, and where the footpath leading into the burial preserve would be. And that's noted in the draft as figure 43 in the back end of the report. I did get comments from one of the Mr. Capelle, regarding the access. And so he submitted his comments to me after I had submitted the draft to you folks. So I wanted to share some of his comments. There were just two major comments that he had concerning the access. he had asked me to strike out the term lineal and cultural descendant and just put access for descendants. So that's what I wanted to sort of get some input on today. And he also asked me to strike out the phrase, which is in the third sentence of the first paragraph of that section, that says when access is requested. So those are the two things that he had asked me to share with you folks. Yes, Uncle.
First of all, Kamana Kapele is not a recognized descendant, right? From the last meeting. Okay, so now his input is strange because he gives input after the actual draft, right? So yeah. I cannot see even listening to his recommendations unless all the other cultural descendants have weighed in on that. So
yeah, they all
had mentioning what he's saying, but what are the other people was his advice or recommendations brought up before the cultural descendants and the borough council guys that were at that meeting?
Yeah, we did discuss some of these things at the site visit, and then all the descendants had an opportunity to review the draft before I submitted it to you folks, and he was the only one that provided those comments, and it's been sort of rough trying to address some of these things because he doesn't, you know, want to go and seek recognition from the council as a lineal or cultural descendant, so... but he does have genealogical connections to this area. And yeah, so it's been sort of a really rough thing for me to sort of balance. But yeah.
Also, I had another question. You know the one, the protective buffer for 24403, where it doesn't extend into the adjacent property? Is that because of the drop-off, or is that because that's a different owner?
Yeah, so on that Mauka site, the boundary for that actual property runs right up along the northern side of that. So we're not sure. We didn't take precise measurements to see if the 50-foot does extend into the adjacent property, which is a different landowner. So 50-foot elsewhere, but, you know, if it happens to be 40 feet or 30 feet between that northern property boundary and the site, then we just have to take it up to the edge of the property boundary.
And is Mr. Capelli sort of like involved with that adjacent property?
No, he's not. Oh, not that.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The local one. He is involved with taking care of a burial that's on the Makai side.
So
to the Makai area, but he's,
all right,
which is on the same grant that he's the same ohana that the people that got this land back in the 1800s.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Uncle Herman.
When you first stated about the rock wall on a cliff, you said it's going to be left open. Mm-hmm. And Scott just talked to you recently. You said it'll be whatever, 20, 30 feet, you know, back. So is a rock wall going to be built? Even if it's not, maybe even 20 feet, maintaining the top of the slope, you know, right at the top with a peak where it levels off, whatever distance is away, if you could put the rock wall there, you know, wherever it stands, instead of being left open. And yeah. Another thing is, I want to say thanks for, you know, that in the last meeting we talked about the buffer and cattle fence, and now it's being done with a rock wall. You know, I love that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for your folks' input. So, Uncle, for your first question that you had, actually the site on that Makai edge before it drops off, there is a wall that's already there.
At the bottom?
Yeah, on that Makai edge.
At the top.
At the top of the site. So if you're looking at the site like this where it drops down, there is a wall that runs across
that
edge of the site. So that's part of the site.
That's probably good enough then.
Yeah. And it delineates the edge before it
goes down.
So that's already
done.
Okay. Let's see. And, yes, Mr. Click.
First,
Lokilani, thank you so much for your professional work and all the time you've spent on this. Totally appreciate. The only question I have is at our last meeting, I had asked for some language that spoke to an audit provision to ensure compliance. And I either overlooked it or I didn't see it within your doc. We could kind of speak to that. I would appreciate.
Okay. So let's see. I have that was it implementation. So the landowner and the property is sort of going through an interesting sort of purchase right now. There's a family, a longtime Ko'u family, the Galimba family, that's looking to buy those two lots. And so, but you know, I can't really speak to this in full detail because none of it is solidified or anything, but there is plans to put that into those two sites also into sort of a conservation easement as well that would give, afford even more protection to the sites. And in terms of sort of that audit provision for to ensure that these get implemented, I don't have it. I don't think I have anything specific in there. And the descendants also sort of shared with me sort of along those same lines, how do we ensure that these things are implemented and protected, you know? And I don't know if I have an answer for that. It's really dependent upon what the landowner chooses to do, you know?
If I just might interject, the landowner has a responsibility to the law. We're an expression, a community expression of what this law on native grave reparations speak to. So my question about the audit provision is to ensure that there is compliance over time. If what I'm led to believe based upon what you're saying is that the people involved, the descendants, whether lineal or cultural, also agree to this provision, then so that it would have a little more teeth to this. And this would be dependent upon an opinion from council. Should there be a penalty provision within the language of the burial plan, which I understand to be a mitigation plan, but still yet some type of provision to say if there's any breach of this contract, then it's either fines in the civil way, or if it exceeds a certain amount, does it become criminal and somebody gets locked up? So that we can ensure that 20, 30 years from now, whatever we agree to today, it still becomes part of the practice. And I believe that if we had something with a little more teeth in it, we wouldn't have this fractured type of position where all the different burial councils and every different multu has got to deal with this stuff individually. There should be some standardized something across the board that every landowner coming onto land where there are sacred sites and remnants of EV or whatever, that they have to follow a unified procedure based upon the opinion of the Nakanaka. And so I would argue for that, and I would hope that council would have an opinion as to how legislation with some teeth in it, with something to secure the insurance that this is going to be followed. Because by evidence, we're here because of why. None of this stuff has been followed. And it's happening on all the islands. And it seems to be getting worse, not better. For my over 2 years here, it doesn't seem like things are getting better. There's more people are moving to Hawaii, demanding more land, moving onto land that was always kapu. But now because of the limited resources, this is being developed. And so where are we? And so, again, Lokilani, I really appreciate all the hard work that you're doing. I appreciate someone like you who's here to explain to this community or on this board what this mitigation plan, this burial plan is speaking to. But if Cindy could chime in and speak to this potential prosecutory language that would hold people to make sure that what they agree to is done, and if not, by penalty, that they have to face that penalty. Thank you.
The enforcement provisions really are set out in the statute. Without statutory authority, and a lot of times rules, right? You know, enforcement is what the statute says it is. You can't put in penalties in the burial treatment plan, right? That's not the purpose of the burial treatment plan. So the plan is a plan, it's not really a contract either, where it's an agreement by parties, right? It's the plan. It gets accepted ultimately by SHPD with a recommendation from the burial council, along with the determination by the burial council to preserve in place or relocate the skeletal remains.
Not to belabor the point, council, but I understand this is a mitigation plan. It's an option to dispute resolution. So the other options that the people have before them is arbitration, negotiation, or litigation. So what I'm asking is that there is an offer being made that's being tendered. There is acceptance. There is a value. And consideration, as you well know, in a contract doesn't speak to a monetary amount, but something of value. The fact that people consider this their family to be valuable in a sacred site meets those conditions of an offer, acceptance, and consideration. By statute, if the value exceeds $750, it's no longer civil, it becomes criminal. So I'm not asking for new legislation or new language. I'm asking that the laws that we have available to us now be employed in the practice that we are advocating, which is what? Are we not supporting the U.S. Constitution for freedom of speech and justice? Are we not speaking to those things? And if so, it shouldn't be one-sided. The fact that the state might consider that the burial council has got to follow the rules of the state, I find to be insulting. We're not puppets. We're individual people coming from different backgrounds, voicing, hopefully, the intent of our constituency, which is the groups and area that we represent. So we're not employees or it's an extension of the state. We're independent by the process that we're nominated by the governor and we're approved by the Senate. So that does not make us responsible to hold true to what Shipti or Deal and R might do. So that being said, if the statute of fraud, which is already written, HRS, cannot be applied to this mitigation plan. If not, why not?
Again, this is not a contract, it's a burial treatment plan.
Okay, then we're gonna have to disagree on that. Because the mitigation plan, I see it as an agreement. By the fact that we have to test the testimony of a descendant, whether they're lineal or cultural, that definition separates the quality in which their testimony is accepted. If we can be that finite about people testifying, then we should be accept a general condition that speaks to fraud. What happens to a case where we're told that certain things aren't going to happen and they're not? That's not fraud? So, counsel, I respect your position and I understand what you're saying, but all I'm saying is simple, basic language of what a condition of a contract is, which I see this happening, and under this situation, this is what we're proposing and we're looking to enforce. And if we're looking to enforce that, the responsibility of compliance should be there with some type of penalty. And if the AG doesn't want to support that, then I'm going to recommend to the council that we act independent of the AG. So if we can lokahi and work together, do more. If not, hey, take your chances. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this?
Yeah, not on that, but I have a question for Lokilani. Loki, right? The wall is being built by who? Who's responsible for the building? I see it says the landowner is responsible for the maintenance, but who is responsible for actually building the wall? And is that agreed on already?
So the landowner is responsible for implementing all of the preservation measures. Mm-hmm. And so so the landowner is responsible for implementing all of the preservation measures, short term and the long term preservation measures.
Okay.
That's my understanding of this. And you know, this is sort of an unusual kind of situation, mostly because the landowner is sort of in transition. You know, the property was being subdivided, and so yeah, it's like the way the laws are set up at this point, you know, the current landowner might not have to be the one to do it. It might be the future landowner.
Okay, thanks.
I did want to speak a little bit to Clifford's, you know, your comments about the, you know, I know, you know, like you said, this is a plan, and I put a little bit of language, you know, it's not no hard and fast, tooth and nail type of language, but I did, in the implementation section of the draft, you know, I did specify that there that the landowner will implement both the short-term and long-term preservation measures and collaborate with known lineal cultural descendants to ensure the sites are maintained in perpetuity as part of any current or future development or agricultural activities that may occur on the property. And this plan, along with the meets and bounds of the survey of the preservation easements for the sites and the described requirements and restrictions, will be duly recorded against the title to the land parcel. So there's a little bit of that stuff in there, but you know, it's not that really hard and fast tooth and nail type of legal
thing. Enough to make a case. So mahalo, Piha. Thank you.
I have another question. You know, this thing says the landowner shall verify in writing to the shifty upon the installation of all these above described preservation measures. It doesn't say when. So yeah. Now you got a piece of property that you never even subdivided yet, and if this guy doesn't move on it, what's to ensure that the guy that's buying these subdivisions or sections of it going to do it? So is there a time on this thing of when all that is going to take place?
There is no time frame on it, simply because it has to do with land transactions and people purchasing the property.
Right.
But it is specified that, you know, for them to get their you know, if they're going to do any activities there, any permitting, they would have to go through SHPTE to get clearance, and SHPTE would inform them that, you know, you have these obligations, and it will also be recorded against the land title. So when they acquire the property, they will be made aware of the obligations that they are buying to.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Des, did you have a question? You're on mute. No.
No, not at all. I had, but it's been answered.
I was just wondering if we could move forward with the part one on this item in our agenda and go ahead and somebody make a motion to preserve this EV in place, since I'm assuming this is our general consensus. We're going to preserve these burials in place, part one. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, so our motion from Uncle Norm is to preserve in place this item on our agenda. And who second?
Desmond.
Desmond, mahalo. Any discussion? Shall we call for the question? Oh, okay, Mr. Capono.
For my own self, I need, look, Kalani, I appreciate the language that you use, but I need something a little stronger to make sure that these people are going to abide by what they're agreeing to for the burial. And it just seems like it's a little too fuzzy. It's not specific. And then the reason why I'm saying that is that if there's not real clarity here right now today, 2020, what happens if this case comes before the burial council in 2040? You're going to be more confused. So our purpose here is to be clear, not to be foggy. Do we have clarity on this motion to accept this property that becomes precedent for other cases? I mean, Scott asked a lot of really interesting questions that seem to be repetitive in every instance. If we had a rule of order that we could follow, it would make our process smoother, and I believe help those in the future to better understand what we're doing today to ensure their lives in the future are better. But if it's foggy today, how's it going to get clear in the future? If anybody can help me with that. That's the only question I've got about this motion. Thank you.
Mahalo, Mr. Capono. Actually, the motion is to preserve in place the burials. It's not about the burial treatment plan per se, but to preserve in place. So that's what the question is. And if there's any discussion on that particular question, we welcome that. Otherwise, we can call for the vote.
Okay, point of clarity. To bury in place meets certain conditions. And this is what I'm speaking to, the conditions by which they bury in place. And to do something to ensure compliance, and it's done either by an audit provision or some fine or something. Where is that? We're just doing a narrative. Oh yeah, okay. Doctrine of happily ever after, I don't think applies to this. So that the language of what we're voting on be taken a little more seriously with some specific language that will hold people accountable to what we're agreeing upon. Even though some people believe it's not an agreement.
My understanding is these burials have been there for I don't know how long. We hope that they continue to remain in place. This is just a detail for us to confirm that this is where we want them to remain, and not something that we're thinking about for 40 years down the line. It's just about preserving in place where they already are, and none of the descendants that came forward said they wanted to move them once this land was being sold. So that's what we're working on. And I see, wait, hold on. Uncle Desmond had a question. So go ahead.
We have a conversation going.
We have to share the floor with everyone, Mr. Capono. We have to make sure all of the
parents. You're going to limit what I can say and when I can say it? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm just saying that let's hear from everybody, not just one person.
Our conversation isn't finalized. That's my opinion.
You can speak after Uncle Desmond speaks.
Oh, thank you. Could I need your permission for what I can say?
Seeing as I'm chairing this meeting, yes, please. Thank you for your respect. Uncle Desmond?
I just wanted to comment on Clifford's point. I can agree that history repeats itself, and then we don't want it happening down the road, so the narrative has to be a little bit more clear. My understanding, and we're just voting on that first phase and at the burial plant, but I just wanted to share and put on the record that I hope that when these land sales do transfer ownership and stuff, that the language is put into there, and if the burial council has any authority, and maybe the attorney general can answer to that, that these languages that protects our Ivi for the next 1,000 years, I would say, that you know, and that's been a problem, yeah, with transfer of land titles and quiet titles, that the true preservation of our Ivi Kupuna was never implemented or even installed through legislation or whatever rules, regulations. But I agree with the fact that we need to be sure that what we do today, you know, is not challenged 40 years from now. So I think that's what Clifford is trying to say. And I agree with that the language needs to be stronger. It needs to be a lot more firm. But I would like to put all of the kulian on the landowners that when they transfer. It's like when you buy one home, yeah? You like know if that house, somebody will get killed in that house or not. And a lot of realtors don't reveal a lot of the truth. And that I would have to really agree with that. But my understanding is we're just voting on phase one, that we can continue this conversation to phase two. You know, but I understand that that's our job, is to protect our Ivi Kupuna. Not only from, and you know, if history is going to repeat itself, which it has, that's why we're on this council. I hate to have it put on the shoulders and the back of our children having to deal with this again. So, yeah, mahalo.
Yes, Waiola.
Yeah, I agree with Clifford in that I do think that something has to be done about making sure our agreements are implemented, because as long as I've been on the board, I think there's only been one time that everything we agreed on was done. All the rest, I don't know, because we haven't heard from anybody. We haven't gone back to check on if the things we had agreed upon was even implemented. I think that's what he's talking about. I understand right now we're just talking about the first phase, just what do you call that? Preserving in place. And that's fine. But I'm just going to say that I understand where he's coming from, because like I said, there's only been one time. I guess you guys remember the one from Kona when we took the little baby girl's body off and they moved it to a gravesite. All the rest, I have no idea if they're even followed. Unless anybody here has gone to actually go check if the things we agreed upon was followed, because there's never a deadline date. And I just want to put that forward. But I agree that this should be preserved in place.
So,
go ahead, Scott.
So I think we should take a vote already on that part. You know, all these other discussions is getting off of the vote. The vote is to vote is to preserve in place, which is what all of the descendants want, and they wanted, you know, and we got the buffer zones all lined up and everything like that. You know, a question back to Cliff goes with just making sure that they get done. And that was my concern from the beginning, you know, when, you know, they say they're going to do all this stuff, but when? But I guess a lot of these things are put into like the deeds of their responsibility when they buy the property. So hopefully that's the case. I'm not sure, but I think we should take a vote soon.
Thank you, everyone. Mr. Capone, do you have any
responses? Yes, indeed. All right. Thank you to the other members of the board. Appreciating the condition that we see our responsibility moving forward, unlike the vice chair's doctrine of happily ever after. We want something a little more specific, and I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Uncle Norm?
Yes, I'd like to ask the AG a question. You know, the conversation now is going to how can we enforce this, and maybe she can give us recommendations of how do we move forward to implement this. What we have to do if we can? Could you please answer that, AG?
Uncle Norm, could we call for the question first, and then we'll have our AG answer part two?
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, mahalo. So let's call for the question. All those in favor to preserve in place on this motion, please
say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion passes. Thank you, everyone. Now we can move forward to the next section. Ms. Young, if you could, I know you've been trying to address this question, and I know this has come up many times in the past. I'm not fluffy. I'm not trying to roll over something and happily ever after. I know what our kuleana is and what our authority is, and it doesn't involve some of this that's being put forth. We have to go back to the legislation and have things changed that way. I feel good that we have some small power in terms of preserve in place and that we do have a BTP. And those burials have a site number now. So if somebody comes in and they start to pull a permit to bulldoze something or put something in, it's gonna trigger. And it's gonna trigger at Chip D, so we have some cushion, some padding to help protect what our kuleana is. I just wanted to say that. And that I personally feel that we have to go back to ledge and change the laws if we want to have more power in what we are allowed to do in our authority. That's all I had to say. Thank you. Now, Ms. A.G. Young, go ahead, answer Uncle Norm's question.
That's a really good question. There's no really good answer. I mean, enforcement is difficult. Vice Chair is correct. For there to be more teeth, there needs to be likely a change, an amendment to the statute. Just to remind the council, the decision, in this case, the decision to preserve in place is supposed to be under the rules recorded in the Bureau of Conveyances, to that decision. So what that does is it lets future owners know that is the decision of the council to preserve the remains in place.
This question is for Kea. Kea, would you mind reminding the vice chair that when she calls for a vote, all those in favor, all those opposed, and those who abstain, so that the count is reflected in the true casting. Because in this last vote, It wasn't an allowance for those who might abstain, which is myself. So my vote, what, doesn't count? Then you don't have five. You've got
I'm
that.
Sorry, I apologize for that, Mr. Capone. Will you please record in the minutes that Mr. Capone abstained? I didn't put that question out. I'm sorry about that. So please put that in, and I will make sure I have ayes, nays, and abstentions. Thank you, Mr. Capone. Kalamai.
So, I just add something a little bit to, you know, this is something that we deal with a lot and trying to work with landowners in ensuring they implement. And there really is at this point no sort of check system to ensure, you know, and the way that it's set up now, the current landowner can simply pass the buck to the next landowner and the next landowner and the next landowner. And that's a problem, you know. But it does require improved legislation, legislation, and our laws need to be revised to ensure that the landowner that initiates the process is the ones that complete the process and not the buck passing continuing.
Making a motion.
You know, so it is an issue and it's something that, you know.
Vote.
But yeah, so I agree, you know, we need to improve legislation to address this shortcoming of our current laws.
Yes, Scott?
Yeah, I have a question for Loki. You talk about the removal of hand clearing only of visitation, right? But it says here that has been inadvertently placed. What does that mean? Visitation inadvertently be placed?
So I think back in 2016, they were doing some clearing on that property nearby, and the guys that were working put some Christmas tree up on it. They didn't know the cave was there. So, but the landowner has since pulled all that vegetation back, and we confirmed that during the site visit. So that the vegetation that was sort of just placed near, kind of blocking the cave opening, has been removed.
Okay, and I also see here where you're talking about the implementation of the burial treatment plan with in regards to meets and bounds now. So even the pedestrian, the walk path is going to be surveyed and laid out on like the property or the map.
Yes.
And the access road, all of that is surveyed.
I know the preservation to walk, you know, the walking path that would lead to the burial reserve would be recorded.
Oh yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, okay, thanks.
Because that's all part of the easement to get to that area.
Yeah, I'm good.
Thank you.
Okay, so
question for Luke.
Yes.
Luke, you know, in the original plan, the bottom road, just before they reaches the road, it's kind of a zigzagging down to the road. And then in the new plan, it's gonna be straightened out, right? All of that has been it looks like the ending part of the road is going to be straightened out.
Which road? The bottom one?
Yeah. When I look at the original, what do you call that, map, it looks like, just instead of going straight, it kind of like, it's like a zigzag going down the road. And I noticed that the second one, and the one we just got in the mail, the road is straightened out. Has all that been arranged already?
I believe the survey has been done. They did the survey, but the road leading from the main highway going up, kind of at an angle to site 24407, that's Christine Kane Road. So it's paved. It's a Kane Road, sort of washed out in some areas, but I believe the landowner, you know, they plan to sort of fix that alignment.
Oh, they are fixing the alignment. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
It looks off. Okay.
That's from my understanding. Yeah, that's why it looks sort of zigzaggy and a little bit crooked as you go up, but then sort of straight on their map. And I believe they're just surveying the road easement too, which is more straight lines than natural curves.
Yeah. Hey, hula over there. Good, the zigzag. Make it really hard to get up there.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and once you get up there, it's like four low all the whole way. Ridiculous.
Okay, can we move to part two? And if there's more questions that haven't been answered already, can they be answered? And if not, can we make a motion to approve this burial treatment plan?
Under duress, I make a motion to accept.
I second.
You're not under duress. All right, we have a motion on the floor to accept this burial treatment.
I better correct it. We've been recorded, so I moved to accept.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Any discussion? Go ahead, you're muted, Mr. Capuano.
You're muted.
Would you mind just summarizing this motion?
Yes.
Okay, mute him again.
Hey, I can hear you.
Motion and Scott, you can second. Mahalo, please.
Oh, that's for me. I move to accept phase two of the burial plan. Is that correct? Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're we are good. Accepting the burial treatment plan.
Oh, yeah. That's my motion.
You have a motion?
I defer to Kia to correct that.
I think the best way to
and with legal presentation from our attorney general and further clarification by council member Capuano.
The best way to word this motion is that you make a motion that you recommend that SHPD accept the burial treatment plan.
Okay. That's my motion.
I believe Scott's.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Accept the burial treatment plan, but is that word draft important in that motion? Because that's what the question is here on the agenda.
I see.
Are we accepting the draft or the barrel? Oh. It was just, yeah, what are we doing?
You know,
the motion was accept the draft.
You could add the word draft, but when I end up writing the acceptance letter, so once all of this is finished, I'm going to write a letter to the property owner saying that at its monthly meeting, the HIBC made a determination to preserve in place the remains at the Bub location. In addition, the HIBC also recommended that SHPD accept the, we can say, draft burial treatment plan, and I would let them know to change the title from draft burial treatment plan, and it's now going to become a burial site component of a preservation plan. Mm-hmm. So the entire document changes right after all of this happened. Not the entire document, the title will change right after all of this happens.
Okay, Mahalo.
Isn't Lokilani's input important on this, whether it's a draft or it's a finalized, because she's the consultant to speak to the outcome of this?
Yeah, so if, like I said, I bring the draft before you folks, and then once, you know, we get through the process of agreeing upon, you know, preservation in place or making the determination, then once I get the letter from Kia, I update that title to reflect the final version.
Okay. Thank you, Loke.
Thank you, Loke. And I also just wanted to remind everybody, I think we've had this BTP for about 5 months on our agenda, and we get updates at each meeting. And we did do a site visit. Two of the barrel council members went out on December 6th. So I think it might be a technicality that does say draft, because I think Loke is always trying to make improvements and changes, Mahalo Nui. So, and thank you that it's been clarified that it will be changed to a final BTP. Those are all good questions. Thanks, everybody. Any more discussion? Shall we call for the vote?
Yep.
All those in favor of accepting this BTP, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All those abstaining? The motion passes. Mahalo nui, everybody.
So efficient. I have a comment on this. I just wanted to mahalo Matt and Loke Lani for providing time for us to go visit. It was a powerful day, very powerful day, especially for my hiapo. It was awesome. And yeah, mahalo, Loke. You get my contact information. If you anybody who do protocol, I'm right there with you. I just won't blow my nose fluid anymore, though. It's too emotional once I do that.
Yeah.
But just mahalo. I just want to put that on the record. It was a great day. It's a beautiful scenery up there, and I think we should all go and accompany our archaeologists and as a council member, do an actual site visit because it really was heartwarming. It was really mana-filled and mahalo.
Yeah, we usually try to do the site visits early on, but with COVID and it was difficult and risky, we thought, trying to get people together, but the timing was right. You know, we had all the right people that showed up and came out, so.
And just to put it on the record, you were very good with our COVID protocols, Okilani. You made sure that we did not hug, we did not hold hands. Just to put that on the record.
It's so awkward, right. You know?
And we all wore masks. And
yeah.
Didn't care.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
man. All right.
Thank you, folks. I just wanted to mahalo you guys all again for all of your input throughout these months and working with the descendants, Kale, helping them get through the paperwork and showing up to the meetings. It was a ton of energy and coordination. So, again, mahalo to all of you, all of you Borough Council members for always guiding me through some challenging times and working within the laws that we have and realizing sometimes they're not always as strong as we'd like them to be. So, but just again, mahalo from the bottom of my heart for all of this. It's been an amazing process and challenging and a lot of growth for me. So thank you all.
I await your next flood of palapala for your next project. Our next 6 months with you.
All right. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Holiday season.
Holidays.
All right.
Okay. Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Oh, okay.
I rescind that motion. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
We only have, we are in, that's the end of our agenda. We just have to announce our next month's meeting. And that's it.
Ooh, next month, Irene.
Yeah.
I'm talking about next year, yeah?
Yep. So our next meeting is going to be January 21st. We'll probably still be Zooming. Yes, Kea? We don't have the vaccine yet for us.
Yeah, I am going to reserve, you know, every December I send in my reservation list to the facilities just to hold the rooms. But, you know, this time I will be letting them know that we may not be using the rooms for the beginning part of the year, but I'll just hold the reservations just in case everything is okay to go back to meeting in person when that time comes.
Yes.
Kalamai, Vice Chair, I noticed we have a couple of guests in attendance.
Yes.
Hello, my name is Logan Kapalali'i Panones. I wanted to listen in on your meeting today because I am a lineal descendant of my grandfather's site and other family members in Ka'ulu Street. I had some questions, and I wasn't sure if I could bring them to your meeting today or if I needed to get on the agenda as far as getting fencing or wall built or just keeping, because the land is no longer in the family ownership, it's now in other people's hands. And so we are, just like Lopilani was talking about, the other property that we are now on someone else's land, but my grandparents are buried there. My father just passed away, and that's where he wants to be. So do I need to get back on your agenda for the next meeting?
Hello, Ms. Vice Chair. I'd like to comment that I want to ask Laverne. That's your, I have a hard time hearing you. But in our council, we like to practice he alo, face to face, in hopes that you have a video that we can see who you are.
Oh, there's my feet.
Nice knee. Yeah, I recognize that knee.
Let me see. Where is my camera?
I think your knee is will suffice.
Sorry.
There's a camera under your table. Just don't display the family.
Don't say it.
I don't know how to put it. Clifford, help me, Clifford.
Laverne, this is Belinda Blakemore. I just wanted to apologize that we weren't able to let you comment when Loke was presenting, that in general, had we been in a real hardcore open meeting, we would have seen you and you could have raised your hand and we would have, when Loke was speaking, and then you could have come forward. Also, I don't know if you were answered the call when she put it out a few times for family, cultural and lineal descendants to come forward. So she was trying to reach out to as many people as she could to include their voices in the BTP. And so now that we've approved the BTP, I think we have some pretty good safety measures embedded in it. If you came forward to talk about what's in the BTP next month, it's already been finalized, but I think if you still reach out to Kea or Christian and you register as a descendant, either cultural or lineal, especially if you know your grandparents are buried there, that would make you a lineal. That will put you right in there. So it's not too late to have your name added in as a descendant and be participating in the kuleana of taking care of our Ibi Kupuna. I hope that
helps. The burial council in 2017, I was recognized as a lineal descendant and I have a ship number already. Good. But I just had some questions now about, because we're getting ready to place my dad's ashes there with his parents, that we are trying to get the place cleaned up so that all of our family members can access it there. So I wasn't sure if that was something that I've sent letters out to the homeowners to let them know that my grandparents are there, and I have not heard back from either one of them, so I didn't want to run into any legal problems when I'm there trimming the mango tree and the weeds around the other site that I'm going to be kicked off that land.
Is this in Ka'u, and is this the burial that was in the burial treatment plan that Loke presented?
No, it's a different TMK. We're over in South Point area.
Kea, is this something you can work with Laverne on to help her access communication with the landowners and kind of pave the way for her to and her family to access?
Yeah, you know, Laverne, you can contact me. Based on what you're describing, this is something that would come through through SHPD. Yeah, you know, if you can give me the TMK and the SIHP number, and you know, I know you said you're recognized in the past, so I can, if you can give me the date on that, you know, maybe I can try and look for the minutes from that HIBC meeting.
Okay.
Chair, Vice Chair. To circle back, I think there was it was alluded to, right, about whether this came under what your agenda included, right? And because it's not the BTP that you just decided on, before you get into the weeds of things, yeah, it would need to be agendized at a future meeting for any discussion. Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna say. We can
yes. Thank you. AG. So Laverne, mahalo for joining us, and you can see that this can be put on the agenda for next month. Reach out to Kea. We can talk further on it. And yeah, thank you for reminding us it's not on our agenda and we have to stay on that. And with that note, Uncle Norm, hopefully your comment will be about something other than this. Otherwise, we can wait for next month when Laverne will hopefully be on our agenda.
My comment is on that. I like to make the comment because it might help her, you know, in her the way she handles this. From what she is saying is, you want to put, correct me if I'm wrong, the father's ashes in the same plot. They no longer own the land. So I don't think she can put ashes in a family lot or even a lot in today's laws. Everything must be put buried in a cemetery.
That is kind of true, actually. If that's what you want to do, you know, I think that might be something that doesn't even come through DLNR. You might need to go through the Department of Health for that.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, if you can see the group chat, that's my email address there.
Okay, you know,
send me an email and then I can try and help you and see, you know, and even if it's not with us, then, you know, I can at least point you out to what department would be best, most appropriate to
okay,
do what you're trying
you.
To do.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Is
something else? Can I keep on?
Well, actually, Uncle Norm, this isn't on our agenda. It has to be on the agenda, as our deputy AG just pointed out. So we're kind of moving.
Well, how can I put this today's newspaper on the whole week newspaper? The Zoom was, the time was incorrectly put. Do I have to wait next month to tell you that?
No.
It says the time of our meeting is 1:30.
Right.
It doesn't have start time of 9:30 to 1:30. It has, say, it starts at 1:30. So you're gonna get a lot of people mad because the incorrect, the, you know, the time was wrong. And another thing to Kia is,
you said this is the newspaper.
Huh?
The newspaper.
West Hawaii.
Oh, West, you know, Hawaii. I know more control over that, Uncle Norman. I don't even contact West Hawaii. You would have to contact them and tell them to straighten out their details. Yeah.
You know, they have all our weekly events on the second page of the newspaper. Tells you daily what's happening, all the Borough Council meetings and stuff like that. I assume it was you, but
no,
you know.
There anyway, you go. There you go. Fake news again.
Yeah. When you choose the rooms for us, Kia, look for some big rooms because we'll get more people, you know, in our next year's meetings. We'll get added members and, you know, the community also. Don't get us a small room again. It is a big one.
Uncle Des?
Yeah, I just wanted to call a mind for going off agenda. I just noticed the guests that we have present. So I just wanted to, you know, hi.
I think Ms. Angela Miller, did you want to introduce yourself?
Aloha mai kakou. I'm just listening in. I'm just interested in this. I'm a Kanaka Iwi on the mainland, and this is my chance to be able to attend burial council meetings. So I've been trying to listen into all of the islands when I can. So mahalo.
Okay. We're a unique island, I'm sure you've discovered.
every island is unique. It's been interesting to see the dynamics across the different islands and how the meetings are run and the issues that are coming up.
Well, thank you for joining us and introducing yourself. Mahalo.
All right,
Mahalo. I wish you would have known that before we started.
Oh.
No, mind me. I had a motion on the floor to adjourn.
Yes. Before we adjourn, Uncle Des, would you mind, because this is our holiday season, our last time we're going to see each other before the new year, could you just give us one closing pule and then we'll call for our vote? I would really appreciate that.
Okay. Well, you know, in observance of our Ivi Kupuna, I was raised, and I'm sure a lot of us were raised to understand that Christmas is every day. Yeah? That during this season, it's not Christmas or New Year for us. It's Lono Imakahiki, a time to renew relationships, to ho'olauna, to ho'opilina, and to just basically renew relationships with everyone. Yeah. My dad always said to kill them with kindness. And I'm sure we've been through a lot of trials and tribulations, what they call, peaks and valleys. We've overcome many things. There's a lot of other older people than me here that have undergone peaks and valleys. But I just mahalo for Angela for being here in Laverne. And just everybody's involved in the council. It's a good balance that we don't have balance, that we find our way to balance out our narratives and dialogues, because everybody is very strong mana'o in our wake up, Haile. We just want to preserve the integrity of our kupuna, the heritage bestowed upon us as we observe and honor the Ivi kupuna. So in observance of Lono Imakahiki, it's a good time to cleanse, a time to make things right. It's especially we approach our new year covered in this, I guess I could call it pandemic. I call it a plandemic. But to cleanse, I'm going to recite Pule ho'okala ponoi. And this is to honor Lono. E Lono ikau veka kala Lono malala. Kala, 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 kala mai ya'u o mau hewa ana apau. Ma'oka hiuwai ha'i pule. A mama uanoa. Aloha, happy jolly days, and I wish you well. When you make your laulau, make sure you get plenty of fat, large pieces of butterfish. Don't forget your poi, your ni'oi, and your onion with your pa'akai.
Hey.
Mahalo, Uncle Des. We can call for the vote, and then Cliff, you can add what you want.
No, I need to say this now.
Okay.
Kalena. Kalameo. I'm sorry.
Can we call for the vote? All those in favor of adjourning our meeting, please say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aole.
Any abstentions? One opposed. The motion passes. Guys.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Take care.
Aloha, Angela.
Mahalo. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha, Cindy, for coming and joining us today.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Mahalo, Norm. Happy next holidays.
Next time, make sure you mute Kapono.
I can't.
Good luck.
Love you guys. Aloha. Hui ho.